Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's, live from MTSU, the student union. Nick McDevitt gets up early. Most of the campus does not. It's just now starting to bustle in here. Coach, we go on at 10 a.m., and every day at noon we give the fraternity and sorority wake-up call because we know across campuses in our listening area, everyone's starting to wake up.
Well, and our show once was noon to 3, so when we were here, it was always packed by the time we walked in. Today I walked in, I'm like, what's going on? It's class, and oh, it's 10 a.m., that's why. People are here now.
You an early riser?
I can be. I'm definitely an early riser right now. Well, I've got two young children, so every day is an early day, whether it's Tuesday or Saturday is an early rise. Either Cooper or Katie are waking us up early. Just got off the phone a little while ago with Andre Morgan, who's one of my assistant coaches. He and his wife, Lynn, who also works here at MT, had their first child this week. And so he said the last couple nights have been no sleep. And so I told him, I said, well, that's not changing, buddy. Your days of sleeping in are over.
Nick McDevitt, our guest. I was looking through the schedule at Belmont, at Vandy. You're playing Ole Miss at Bridgestone Arena. There are a lot of local games that are technically on the road for you where the fan base should be able to travel and local basketball fans should be able to get behind your team and other local teams here.
Yeah, I think those kind of games are fun for a lot of folks, for the community, the universities, the alumni, the players, the coaches. As you mentioned, we're playing all those teams. We have Lipscomb coming to our place this year, so Murray State. And so a lot of non-conference games that are all easily drivable, and their fans can come to Murfreesboro. We can get to their place pretty easily. I just think those games are exciting. They're natural rivalries because of location. So we're going to try to continue to play those games.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of times you'll see a coach go from one place to another, and that school ends up playing the school they left because they have such a good relationship. The moment you leave UNC Asheville, is that a discussion that you have? Will the AD call and say, hey, let's get each other on the schedule now? Or is that something you don't want to go down?
You know, that hasn't happened yet. I'm sure at some point it may. There's always those awkward moments. It's kind of like, you know, you're playing your brother, your sister, your cousins, or whoever in the backyard. Those are the ones you want to beat the most because of the relationships that you have. That may be something we do down the road. Is actually we played when I was at Asheville. We played middle. But not in Tennessee or North Carolina. We went all the way to Alaska to play each other in the Great Alaskan Shootout. So
it got you noticed here.
What's that?
Your performance there got you noticed here.
Actually, it did. That's something that Chris shared with me later, that because of the game that we had at up in Alaska in the tournament, it was a hard-fought game. Middle ended up beating us at, when I was at Asheville by 2 or 3 late in the game. And Chris Massaro, my boss, the athletic director here, said that he noticed how excited Kermit was over the victory. And he said it kind of stood out to me. He's like, no offense to you, but, you know, I was wondering, why are you so excited after a win over Asheville? And he said, well, they're good. You know, they're well coached. And he said that just kind of stuck out to me, his reaction to that win. So from then on, I just kind of kept tabs on you and how your teams were doing. We were fortunate enough that year to end up winning our tournament, win the conference championship, and have played pretty well since then at Asheville. So, that game was one that that helped me. Little did I know.
Nick McDevitt, our guest head coach of the Middle Tennessee basketball team, helped me with the Conference USA schedule adjustment this year. The schedule is set. I mean, you know you're going to play all these conference games. You just don't know when because it's the second half of the schedule is based on where you rank in the conference. What's the thought process behind that when you were at league meetings, and do you like it?
It's an attempt to try to do two things at once. One is to help the seed of your automatic qualifier. the team that wins the tournament. The other is to put more, put better RPI games on everyone's schedule that's at the top of the league. It's an 18-game league schedule. The first 14 are set. You play everybody once except for your travel partner. You play them twice. So for us, the only team we'll play in league, home and away, is UAB. They're our travel partner. Everybody else we play once. After those 14 games, you'll be in one of three pods. You'll either be 1 through 5, 6 through 10, or 11 through 14. Your last four games are against the other teams in your pod. So, and you can't move out of that pod.
Once you're in it, you're in it.
Once you're in it, you're in it. So you could be the four seed after 14 games, go 0-4. The worst you're going to be seeded in the conference tournament would be fifth. You can't fall down to another pod, but you also can't play up into another pod. And so the reason is, if you look at 1 through 5, generally the conference tournament champion is going to come out of one of your top 4 or 5 teams. By making them play each other, somebody's going to have several high-quality wins late in the season that could potentially bolster their kind of NCAA tournament resume. It somewhat happened just by happenstance last year for Middle. Mm-hmm. You look at their last 3 or 4 games last year, all against the other best teams in the league. They stumped their toe against Marshall, but because of how good Marshall was, how good Marshall's RPI was, that loss didn't take them out of the conversation for an at-large bid. Whereas had it been against 11, 12, or 13 in Conference USA with a week to go, you're out of the conversation. Now you have to win the Conference USA tournament, where perhaps if Middle had gotten to the semis or the finals last year, you never know. They could have been an at-large bid.
It's a brilliant plan. Do you expect more conferences to look at a system like that?
Yeah, they could, particularly the ones that are currently on the verge of being a multi-bid league.
Fighting to get that second bid.
That's right. Again, whoever wins out of the top 4 or 5, you've definitely got high-quality games. So even your losses don't crush you. The wins can really help you. And when you look at the numbers, the teams that are kind of on that 11 line or better, 11, 10, 9, those seeds have a far greater chance of advancing in the tournament. The 5-12 line's always, there's an upset, it feels like, every year on that 5-12 line. But once you start getting in the 4-13s and the 2-15s and 3-14 games, the percentages of the teams that win those games as the lower seed drops dramatically. So the idea was, let's try to, as a league, get ourselves a better bid or better seed from our automatic qualifier. And by some strategic scheduling, let's try to get a second team in there.
Coach, will you take us through your playing background and some of the big names you played with or teammates with and played against?
Sure. Actually,
you can rattle off these names, and Chad's just going to give you follow-ups on some of these coaches.
Sure, absolutely. I going back to when I was a high school player, because of the proximity of my hometown, even though I grew up in North Carolina, I actually played AAU basketball in Tennessee. I played for a team called the Tennessee Travelers, and our practices were at Thompson Bowling over at Tennessee. Several players that went on to play at UT Knoxville from Cleveland County, Vincent Yarborough, Dell Baker, Harris Walker, Travis Stinnett went. He was at Alabama for a year, hurt his hip, ended up transferring to Murray State. Josh Shoemaker, that played at Wake Forest, were some of the guys that were on my team. We, the Peach Jam, which is now Nike's premier tournament, my 17-year-old year was the second year of the Peach Jam. And that year we played what most would argue is the best summer league team of all time, was Riverside Church, a team out of New York. They had Elton Brand, Ron Artest, LeVar Postel, Eric Barkley.
Was Ron Artest crazy even in high school?
Ron Artest was he started at wing. When their point guard went out, they moved him to point guard, and he was huge.
And he's 6'7", 6'8".
And now I'm guarding him. And I looked over at our head coach and said, "You gotta be kidding me." And I'm telling you, Brand had, I don't know, 40 and probably 28 on dunks. I mean, he was dunking everything. And at the time, you're thinking, who in the world is this guy? And obviously, years later, everybody knows who he is. But a phenomenal tournament then, continues to be. And that game, although not a lot of fun at the time as they beat us by about 35 or 40. I later found out we played them like the second closest of anybody at the Peach Jam.
Really?
And they beat us by like 35.
How crazy is that event with all the coaches across America there for that, watching those players?
It is the premier.
As a player.
As a player, it's the who's who because
you probably played in front of Coach K in that game against Elton Brand.
Sure.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, you know the who's who of basketball is there. It's not just college basketball. You'll have current NBA players are there. You'll see, who's who of current college players. So when you're 16, 17 year old and you're seeing, you know, the guys that you grew up watching when you were 10, 11, 12, or you're walking right by them, it's kind of crazy.
Tell us how you crossed paths with Brad Stevens.
With Brad Stevens.
Play against him or you did something like that, didn't you?
I could have. I don't know.
Oh, I feel like there's a bio story with you and him somewhere.
There could be. I don't know. I'll tell you this. One of our former operations guys when I was at Asheville, I was an assistant. He's currently a video guy for the Boston Celtics.
Okay.
He was, his name is Matt Reynolds. Matt Reynolds was a manager at Syracuse and the next year came to be our operations guy. That year was the year we played Syracuse in the NCAA tournament. So he was having a hard time with all the guys he was rooming with on the road last year at Syracuse, and here he is working for us. Some of that connection and some of the stuff that I've got to talk to him a little bit about are really through Matt and his relationship now with the Boston Celtics.
Nick McDevitt has been our guest. Again, go to GoBlueRaiders.com to check out the full schedule. A lot of local matchups. And I know one that I went to school here. We're talking about playing Memphis as middle fans now with Penny Hardaway willing to take on anyone locally or nationally that wants to call him. I'm hoping that's a local matchup that we could see. We're going to see it with Tennessee. I'd love to see it across the entire state with them. So just throw my two cents in there. I'd love to see Penny Hardaway back in the Murphy Center.
Well, we would ask you about playing Penny Hardaway, but I'm sure you're a little bit younger than he is.
I'm fortunate enough to say that I never did play against Penny Hardaway.
He was a little bit older than you.
I'm sure he could take a lot of people still. He looks like he's in still pretty good shape.
Finally, have you had a chance to just sit back and take a deep breath and take it all in, or has that been a whirlwind since you took the job?
A little bit of both. Time to exhale. Once summer school is over and before the fall semester starts, there's that 2 or 3 week period while your players aren't around that you get a chance to think a little bit more long term, strategic, but also reflect on what the last 3 or 4 months look like. So it was a whirlwind summer, spring and summer. But we're starting to get into a little bit of a groove now that the fall semester's here. All of our players are here. We've got some team workouts under our belt, so starting to get our stride a little bit.
Good to see you. Thank you for coming
by. Same to you.
When do you start up? When does camp start up and all that?
Well, we're in the process right now. The NCAA now allows us 4 hours a week with our players. And so you can have 4 1-hour team practices a week. You could split it up into 3-hour and 20-minute team workouts.
How are you doing?
Individual sessions. We are doing 4 1-hour sessions. We just got so many new faces. There are only 3 scholarship players on our roster that have ever played for MT. We have 9 scholarship players, 7 new faces, and then 2 red shirts off of last year's team. So a lot of new faces. They need a lot of time together.
GoBlueRaiders.com for more information.